All right, folks, this is Rabble Rouse and Rich Bergeron.
It is the Tornado Tony Pinnacle.
And Psychic Tom Padgett, just crystal ball ready to go.
All right, well, coming in loud and clear. Massive technical difficulties going on last week, so we moved the show to tonight. We got a lot going on in the combat sports world over the last week. We had the last weekend, we had one of the last UFC events until September now. Fight night, Sergio Pettis in the main event against Moreno there. I thought Moreno looked a lot better in his previous fights, but Sergio just got to him and got the job done, basically. Tom and Tony, you guys were doing your solo show last week, so you didn't get a chance to talk much UFC stuff, but it's pretty interesting to see Jon Jones trying to be friends with Daniel Cormier now. Trying to be buddy-buddy. And Brock Lesnar is also making all kinds of waves. Everybody talking about fighting him.
I'll tell you, that would draw some numbers, for
yeah.
sure.
It would bring in money.
Yep.
Yes.
For sure. And so getting back to Pettis versus Moreno. Pettis is 16-2 now, and Moreno 14-4. The co-main event was pretty interesting. Grasso versus Marcos. Randy Marcos lost by split decision over Alexa Grasso. And that was a pretty decent fight. We also had Nico Price beating Alan Juban by TKO in the first round. Humberto Bandone beating Martin Bravo by knockout from a knee. That was in the first round, 26 seconds in. That's got to suck. And a former guest of ours, of course, I had to watch this one. Sam Alvey basically handled Rashad Evans with very minimal tools in the tool bag. You know, just basic punches and kicks here and there. A lot of knees. A lot of effective knees, too, by Sam Alvey. He's very good with the Muay Thai in close.
Yeah, you just kind of wonder if this is time for Rashad to hang him up. You know, the fight was down to about 20 seconds. Did you see the fight, Rich?
Yes, I did.
Yep. Okay, you remember how the fight's down to 20 seconds? And it was obvious. I mean, sometimes it's never obvious with the judges, but if I was in Rashad's corner, I'd say, we really got to turn it on this last round. And 20 seconds left, and instead of throwing some Hail Mary punches, he's trying to get a takedown.
Right.
Which had not been working for 14 minutes and 40 seconds trying to fight. You know, Dad, I mean, I know that we all revert back to what we do best, but at that point, just didn't know what to say about it. But good for Sam. He got the win. It was ugly, but he got the W.
Yeah, he's making a name for himself. I mean, he's kind of like the new Cowboy Cerrone. He'll fight anytime, anywhere, and anyone. So it's good stuff to watch him start to get back on the winning track. He had that tough loss last time.
Did you notice he kind of adopted a different expression during the fight? I think he was smiling early on, and by the second or third round, he was getting a snarl, you know?
Yeah, he's getting winded a little bit.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting, but good for him, so we'll see what's next, and hopefully Rashad's got nothing to be ashamed of. He's had a great career, but it just seems like it's gone.
Hey, he's going to go to Bellator next and fight Chuck Liddell.
after
Chuck fights Chael.
Yes.
I think Chael Sonnen versus Chuck would be good. That would be fun to watch. Anyway, Alejandro Perez also won the card, beating Andre Sukhamathoff by split decision. Jack Hermanson beat Bradley Scott by TKO in the first round, 3 minutes and 50 seconds in. Dustin Ortiz beat Hector Sandoval by knockout, 15 seconds into that one. Quick work for Dustin Ortiz. That's like the only time that fighting on the preliminaries is worth it, when you only have to work for 15 seconds. But Ronnie Yaya also beat Enrique Briones by Kimura submission, 2 minutes and 1 second into the first round. And then Jose Alberto Quinones beat Diego Rivas by unanimous decision in the second fight of the night. Or that's third fight. Sorry. Get down the list here. Come on. All right. Second fight of the night, Joseph Morales beat Roberto Sanchez by rear naked choke submission. Also in the first round. A lot of quick work in this fight. On this fight card. Come on, computer. Quit messing with me. All right. And then Jordan Rinaldi in the first fight of the night beat Alvaro Herrera by shoulder choke. Also in the first round. 2 minutes and 1 second in. And there are no mixed martial arts fights this weekend. Obviously, it's weekend's past, so Sunday night, different night. But yeah, they didn't really have anything going on. Nothing big, anyway. No big shows. And Bellator is back at it next weekend, I believe. So we'll be talking about that one on Thursday, regular time. And by the way, I'm sure Tony is going to be super stoked about this. We've got some very good guests in the boxing world from the retired realm of boxing.
All right, well, tell me what we got.
Thanks to our buddy Nick Sampson, he's offering us some big names like James Toney.
Nice.
He also offered us Riddick Bowe and Ray Mercer again, even though I told him we already did those guys, but. And Riddick Bowe wants to fight. Riddick Bowe wants to fight me, so I don't really want to talk to him.
why does he want to fight you?
Remember that? You don't remember? I'll fight you, Rich.
You know, probably because we had a lot of understanding him. You know, if we get Tony on, we're going to need that the thing like when he talks on television, it has the letters, you know, what he's saying. I don't know how we're going to get that. We're going to have to do a Skype or something. I have to do a video Skype.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to need.
I met him, actually, briefly out in Vegas. I should have got his autograph, but, you know, I was in the press section and everything, and I met him and Roberto Duran on the same night, and I tried to tell Roberto Duran, I'd like to interview you, and he was like, I don't speak English. So it was bad. I think he could understand me, but he was just like, fuck off. It was funny, though. It was a good night. There was a lot of people there. But yeah, Roberto Duran, talked to him, shook his hand. His bodyguard was there, took my card, but obviously he never used it. And then James Toney was there in sunglasses. He was representing some fighter, promoting one of the fighters and heavyweight on the real undercard. All right, let me tell you the rest of the list. We got Lamon Brewster, Chris Bird, also on the list. And Angel Manfredi is somebody that Nick is working with as an advisor. So those are the fighters and the trainer there. So he says, I told him we already did it, Ray Mercer and Riddick Bowe. I'm just reading this now. He says, why don't we look at Angel, Lamon, and Chris for the radio show, and it may be easier doing a written website interview for James. Hey, yo, Tony. Oh, Tom is psychic. That's official.
You know, you can't take any joy in that. I mean, that's an awful situation to be in, but there is a part of it. You may as well just laugh at it and better than cry.
Right. That's too funny, though. He said that, and then he says, let's do it written. That's too crazy.
I remember when Freddie Roach was talking to Mayweather Sr., I believe, and it was he had mumbled something, and Freddie says, could you repeat that in English? Mm-hmm. cold.
Right. All right, bear with me here. I'm on BoxRec now looking for some boxing results. Yeah, James Toney, it was interesting when he was trying to get Randy Couture to fight him, and he did all those promo videos, and they literally did have subtitles for some of his stuff.
How horrible.
But I always hate it when you watch those TV shows, and they have all these subtitles that you don't need. The guy just has an accent, you know? It's not that hard to understand him.
Yeah, that very good point.
So why are you guys making me read? The guy speaks English perfectly well. He just has an accent. Anyway. There's an interesting story while we're waiting for BoxRec about UFC flyweight Ian McCall. And this ties into wrestling, too, because he is basically trying to fix his brain because he does not want to end up like Chris Benoit. And he's basically working with the UFC on this, too, which makes it also pretty interesting, like how many people get this kind of special treatment from the UFC. We heard a lot of stuff at the fighters' retreat there that kind of made it look like they only give certain people these advantages. But he's trying to get out in front of his medical problems, as the article says, by undergoing transcranial magnetic stimulation. So we're putting some magnets on his brain under the watchful eye of UFC Vice President of Athlete Health and Performance Jeff Nowitzki. He has an interesting quote here. I mean, it kind of crosses over to both sports, but he says, "My whole career is a regret. I don't hold any ill will toward the sport. It's a weird place that people at the end of their career kind of go over. And no one talks about it. People fight it. I'm not going to fight it. People make Chris Benoit out to be. I always thought he was a fucking monster for what he did. And then being with my wife, Alicia, and being around wrestlers and the stories you hear about Chris and how good of a person he was and how amazing of a father he was, all of this stuff. And it's the TBI or drugs. I'm not saying he was on drugs or steroids or whatever. That stuff drives people crazy. And for me to think that through hurting my brain, I could hurt someone else, like the people I love, sorry, not going to happen. I'm not going to ever, ever let that happen. So I'm at least going to hop on it now and try and fix it before it gets worse. And if I can fight again, then cool. If I don't fight again, then sure, my whole career is a regret. But whatever, I had a lot of fun." And he's actually already experienced some symptoms of CTE or TBI, including bouts of rage, bipolar symptoms, and out of nowhere crying. So, obviously, mood swings. The article also says it's widely believed that Benoit's brain damage stemming from years of physical abuse inside the ring played a role in the murders of his wife and 7-year-old son before he committed suicide, and it helped push for more efforts into understanding and combating chronic traumatic encephalopathy. And McCall actually has not competed since a unanimous decision loss to John Lineker early 2015. And he was actually one of the last big UFC fighters I had a chance to interview. I forget what happened, but he had to cancel on us or something. But yeah, crazy stuff. That's what it is. Well, that's interesting, though. Gives you a different perspective. And the guy that comes to mind immediately when I read that is TJ Grant. I mean, where was this kind of program and attention when TJ Grant was suffering from the same issues and not coming back? And now he has still not come back years later.
Yeah, and he had quite a win streak going.
Yeah, he was a really good fighter, really big name. And they just kind of let him go to the wayside. But I imagine that, you know, he's probably not under contract anymore and voluntarily decided he wasn't going to do it anymore. Ian McCall obviously has got a contract in place. Anyway. We got the WBC World Bantamweight title on the line on Tuesday. Shinsuke Yamanaka, 27-0-2, fighting Luis Neri, who is 23-0. And that's over in Kyoto, Japan. Co-main event, Shota Yamaguchi, 14-4, fighting Koichi Ito, who is 11-5-3. And then everything else we can kind of discuss next week. Let's go to results here. Sunday. We already got results from today. Big surprise in Fiji. We had fights in Fiji. The mismatch of the week worked out in perfect form. Abhay Chand, 18-15-4, beat Matthew Michael, who was 1-2. It's not as bad as we've seen. Pretty bad there.
Maybe he fought three really tough guys. You know, I mean, maybe it wasn't as much of a mismatch as...
Well, you only got so many guys willing to fight in Fiji, I guess. The big one over the weekend in Mexico was Roberto Garcia fighting Omar Chavez for the vacant WBC silver middleweight title. Garcia came in 40-3, Omar Chavez 36-3-1, and Garcia got the win. And it does not tell you, view this bout. What is that all about? Let me see if I can see the results. So it was a unanimous decision, I guess. Unanimous decision for Garcia. You gotta hit view this bout to get that, I guess, now. And then Moises Caleros on the same card beat Mario Rodriguez. Caleros 26-7-1, Rodriguez 20-13-5. That was also a unanimous decision. WBC World Female Heavyweight title also went down in Quintana Roo, Mexico. Alejandra Jimenez, 8-0, fighting Vanessa LePage Joannis, who's 3-0. And Alejandra got the win there. Just looking for title fights. Big fights. What's going on? No whammies. The Jesus fight of the week did not work out well for Jesus. Patrick Harris stayed undefeated, beating Jesus Lule. Can't tell you the type of win. Patrick improves to 12-0, I guess. And here we go, page 2. We had the, let's see, this is a tough one. Interim WBC Latino Super Bantamweight title on the line in Cordoba, Argentina on Friday. Kirill Herrera got the win there, 38-2, over Julio Escudero, 16-6-1. And I know we had some stuff Thursday. Another one Friday, Jason Bergman lost a fight to Robert Alfonso, who remains undefeated, goes to 13-0. That one was for the vacant USBA Southern Region Heavyweight title. Bergman goes to 26-14-2. That's pretty much it there. Getting into Thursday. I love it how they show the TBA on the results page. That's nice.
That's sad. That is really sad.
We're going to plug someone in later. That this guy beat. To be announced who he fought. The guy came out of the audience, you know. Took us a while to find his name. All right. I think that about does it for last week's boxing. We did have some open workouts, though, for Mayweather versus McGregor last week. And one guy who on Twitter, where I got one of the feeds, posted what I like to say about Travis Brown. He boxes like the Irish Notre Dame Irish logo, fighting Irish logo.
You know, like, I was watching some of his workouts, and I was like, well, they're unconventional.
Yeah, definitely. And he looks like he's going to go for a lot of uppercuts to the ribs, based on some of his style. But They did also release the infamous Pauly Malignaggi clips, another thing that I didn't get to talk to you guys about last week. Pauly Malignaggi leaving the training camp and deciding this is too much of a circus for him. Well, Dana White apparently was the one who released two quick videos of obviously Malignaggi's weakest moments of the whole sparring session. One time it looked like he more or less got pushed down instead of knocked down, and the other time it was just a nice combination for McGregor. But
McGregor landed a good straight left hand, but then it's like, you know, he's almost like hammer fist, like clubbing him in the back of the head, and it's like, that's not gonna work. That's not exactly legal.
I didn't see any Superman punches.
I'll give you that.
So, he's got to work on that. So, that's legal, supposedly. But anyway, hopefully he's going to make it interesting. His father says don't sleep on it. And his father just came out. It was another thing I saw on Twitter today. Connor's father saying that, this kid could really shock the world. So, don't blink. But we'll see. Jerry's still out on that. And, did we miss anything? I don't know. I don't think I collected a lot of big news links. Oh, we got to talk about your bobblehead here, Tony.
What did you think of that?
That's pretty interesting. You know, I'm looking at it. It looks a lot more like you than some of the ones I've seen on TV shows that they've tried to make for, like, sports athletes and stuff. Even on Shark Tank. On Shark Tank, they made some figurines of these people, and it didn't come out that good.
It was funny how this, you know, all worked out. I went to a Phillies game last night, but I was also supposed to play. It was alumni weekend for the Phillies. They do this every year, and they induct somebody into their Wall of Fame. And I went last year, was Jim Tomey. It's a great time. A couple years ago, I went for Charlie Manuel. Obviously, I have other guys in there, Mike Schmidt, Steve Carlton, and so on and so forth. This year, they decided they were going to put, they had so many people, it was a landslide of a vote. Pete Rose gets picked. Right before this is all going to happen, something comes out from 43 years ago that he had a relationship with a girl that was 15 years old when he was like 34, and it's like, oh, beautiful. So then they decided, you know what? Now we're going to cancel Pete Rose out of everything. And he's like, you know what? Because this is all coming out right now, maybe it's better if I just kind of go back into hiding. So I decided I'm not going Friday night because they were going to give it out to Pete Rose bobblehead. As a chip, being my usual sarcastic self, I said, you know, it'd be a great idea. Instead of Pete Rose bobblehead, they should just give out tornado bobbleheads. That place would be packed. Stoppers would be on the charging hundreds and hundreds of dollars a ticket for people to get in and get their tornado bobblehead. eBay would be overflowing with these things. And then I took a picture of a Philly bobblehead and I put my face on it. And the girl that I work with said, why don't you do it for real? Do you think they can do it with a top hat? I've never seen a bobblehead with a top hat on. I've seen a baseball hat, but not a top hat. And she goes, well, what's the worst thing you can do? She sends me the link to this place. And I emailed him. I said, listen, I said, here's kind of what I wear. Can you do this? They're like, yeah. I said, with the top hat? Yeah. Okay. So I go on there, and you upload four photos from the front, the back, and each profile side.
Yep.
And they said, okay, so you can kind of do it. It's like generic, you know, where they would make it, you know, like you, it would be you, and they put the sunglasses on you, whatever, but it would be a generic kind of look. Or they said they could have it for like an additional $20, professionally like sculpted and very detailed. I said, well, shit, if I'm doing this, I'm doing this big.
Right.
Professionally sculpted, bitch. And they said, they sent me the, casting a day later, and said, this is what it's going to look like. I said, all right, do it. Now, I could have complained,
because they did make my arms look a little small. I was going to say,
we need to give you some muscles.
Credit for the guns here.
Yeah, you're, especially because you're flexing them. It's like, come on, man. Give him a bicep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one detail they need to fix. But. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Well, I'm going to go back and forth there, but I'm like, you know, whatever. Now here's what's funny. I posted that on my fan page, my Facebook fan page for the Phillies tornado gimmick that I, do. Next thing I know, I got people on there. One of them, the one Phillies minor league team down in Clearwater where they have spring training, I've gotten to know the guy that plays the mascot down there. I get a picture of the mascot every year. They want to buy one.
Nice.
Well, here's the thing. Is like, I got an email that comes back. I'm like, if people want to buy this, like, can they also order it? Because, I mean, I was just having it made for myself as a birthday gift. But I had people like, guys that I used to work with, I'm like, oh, dude, we need one of those for our desk.
Yeah.
Really? And then my best friend's sister-in-law, whose little boy thinks I'm famous.
Yeah.
You heard this one. About the baptism, I hadn't seen this kid in 5 years since their wedding, until a minor league baseball game earlier this year, and I got a picture with all the kids, and, like I said, they were maybe 5 years old when I first met him. He's about nine or so now, and, I got a picture with all the kids, and a nice little photo, and then he sees me on TV during a game, or a commercial, or whatever it was, and just convinced I'm famous. So the following week when we were having my friend's son's baptism, he's walking into the church. His mom's telling me that all he wanted to do was hang out with me and sit with me and talk to me because I'm famous. And his mom's like, well, Justin, he's in the front pew. He's with Uncle Mike and Aunt Natalie and Baby Dominic and, whatever. Well, I don't see him. Where is he? Well, he's sitting right there on the end. That's not him.
He thinks he's
like, yeah, that's Justin. He doesn't wear the hat and cape to church. But that would be a great look for a church.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, but look at Sal, and then, you might end up doing bobblehead night one night. Get enough of them to be sold and people to have them.
I was showing pictures at the game last night, and people were like, oh, I want one of them.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? But see, here's the problem. I'm not ordering them. Like, you're right. I would get a knockoff price if I ordered a bunch of them, but then I got to collect from people. Yeah, I ain't doing all that. I ain't putting money out of front. No.
Yeah.
So, I'll see if this place will allow people to buy them.
Put up a link on your fan page.
Exactly. Hopefully, we'll pump up the arms a little bit. I'm like, yo, let's get them arms a little defined. But hey, people want to buy them, more power to them.
Yeah, that's cool. They did a really good job on it, for sure.
Yeah, they really did. Yeah, I went to a game last night. The one young lady at the bar attached to the stadium that I've gotten to know, it was her going away party because she's joining the Army National Guard in a few weeks. So she took a big party. She had bottles of champagne and they're spraying them all over the place. It was a good time.
Awesome. Well, all right, guys. Unless anybody has anything else, I think that's it for us tonight.
Well, you know what? Would it be okay with you, gentlemen, if I started writing the preview for McGregor or Mayweather?
Sure.
Okay.
It's going to take you 30 seconds.
I think it'll be done probably by Wednesday or Thursday.
Oh, man. All right. You have made my week.
Awesome.
Yeah. I've watched a lot of things, and things are coming into my head, and that's what I always say. Like, when I would write these, I would see something, like the old Max Schmeling, I see something, when he beat Joe Louis, because he called Joe Louis dropping his left hand, like, I see something, I'm seeing this one, and I'm seeing this one clear as day. It's like, I got Tom's crystal ball right here, and I'm looking at it, and I'm seeing this one, and now I'm trying to verbalize it in my mind, and when I do my articles, how I'll put in there,
okay, what are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? Well, you know, McGregor is going to kind of be hard because a lot of his things, like three greatest bouts. What am I going to say? N-A, N-A, and N-A? I really got to think how to put that, but, you know, I see, and I'll give you guys a little taste, just a little wet your appetite a little bit. With McGregor, what I see is he's fearless. You know, and he's going to be tenacious. He's going to be fearless and tenacious, especially at the beginning. And I'm going to put a section on there on what he's got to do to win the fight. And what he really has to do is push the envelope as much as possible to the point of getting penalized. I mean, and I'm not talking about throwing kicks or anything, but I'm talking about, you know, fighting very rough, you know. Like, you know, trying to get on the inside and maul on the inside. You know, try to get Mayweather up against the ropes and, you know, kind of bang in with your shoulders. You know, kind of be very physical in there. Kind of like a lot of stuff, if you ever watch a prime Bernard Hopkins, what he would do, he'd get all kind of, and I'm not obviously saying McGregor's going to have that type of boxing experience, but Hopkins used to like to push the envelopes, the rules, like, he'd get on the one side of the referee and he'd bang him on the hips and, you know, like on the kidneys with the other hand to the referee's blind side. You know, but those are the minor things. If McGregor's going to have a shot in hell, that's what he's got to do. And he's got to make it pretty much almost a street fight. And Mayweather, you know, he's got to just sit there, not lose his cool in the beginning, which I don't think he will, because he's a true professional. But this could be the guy that really goads him more than that. And here's another thing that nobody's ever brought up. Could Mayweather get disqualified?
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you a couple examples here. I'm going to give you three prime examples. Two of them where Mayweather lost his cool a little bit, and one where he did something and, you know, he didn't get penalized for it, but it could have worked out differently with a different referee. Example number one, Arturo Gatti. First round, before it became really a mismatch, Mayweather kind of pushed Gotti's head down, and then he hit him. Some other referees might have not tolerated that. Obviously, it wouldn't cause a disqualification or anything. And then when Gotti was complaining, Mayweather clocked him. So, that's one potential right there. You know, because that could have been kind of construed as a sucker punch. Okay, the other example, obviously, is the Victor Ortiz fight. He was beating Ortiz kind of handily, and then Ortiz headbutted him, you know, against the ropes. Ortiz got the points, you know, taken away, went to apologize, Mayweather clocks him. Hmm. You know, basically, undefended punch. And, you know, was he in the right to do that? Yeah. Was it kind of a dick move? Absolutely. But it wasn't illegal. The third one, this one could have been a disqualification. Zab Judah. Judah's fighting Mayweather tough early. Mayweather's starting to take control. Judah hits him with a low blow and then hits him in, like, the back of the head, you know. And Mayweather's family bum rushed the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Actually showed him disqualification. Nobody's ever thought of these things. That, you know, if McGregor's fighting a very dirty, rough, you know, fight using shoulders, elbows, knees in there, you know, could Mayweather throw a punch after the bell? Or, you know, a punch after a break and maybe drop McGregor and take a disqualification? Possible. Or could Roger, you know, could he, you know, lose control and come in the ring and take the swing at McGregor? Nobody thought of that.
Yeah. Could McGregor hire a bunch of soccer hooligans to come to the fight? Cause a riot in the stands? Who knows?
And this is the kind of fight that is a spectacle. And with spectacles, I mean, you know, just thinking of the Tyson-Holyfield rematch. Well, come on. Who would have said, well, you think Tyson could become a cannibal in the second round? Make a fight out of him? This is a spectacle.
Well,
and this is the stakes. Raises the possibility of just about anything.
the problem is for me is that we have the mix of combat sports in the main event. You got an MMA guy versus a boxing guy. All the other fights are pure boxing matches. They've totally filled out the card now. Not a single MMA fighter making a crossover. Not even one who already has a boxing license or anything, you know? They could have dragged Chris Lytle out of retirement and had him fight somebody. Roy Jones Jr. versus Anderson Silva. I mean, they could have done something. And
nothing. You know, a lot of it, like, these other guys, if they're not going to get that massive payday that McGregor's getting, why step out of your element, you know?
Yeah.
Why take, say, 154 and put him in with, Jaylion Love or one of the Charlo brothers. I forget which one's on the card. It might be Jaylion Love. But, you know, why do that? And then, like, and you get to thinking of way back in the 70s when it was Ali versus Antonio Inoki, and they were doing, like, boxing versus wrestling things, like, all throughout, like, you know, all over the place. That's when they had Andre the Giant, Chuck Wepner, and, you know, stuff like that.
That just makes me laugh thinking about it.
It's pretty funny. But you figure a lot of these other MMA guys don't want to, you know, step into that boxing venture. And, you know, honestly, do you really blame them that much?
Well, okay, but here's the thing. The Diaz brothers have talked about wanting to make that crossover. And I wish we could have seen them. I mean, you know, Stipe keeps talking, well, of course, he's calling for Anthony Joshua. I don't think that's going to be happening. But, you know, some boxers, some MMA guys have talked about wanting to make it, the crossover. And this, what a great time to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
So this is probably going to be the only fight, unless McGregor wins, this is going to be the only fight the UFC co-promotes in boxing in their entire history. Because it's just not a very good job on their side of just putting one guy up and saying we're good. And then, you know, trying to put it all on Conor's shoulders to prove it for MMA. I mean, give me a break. You're choosing this guy? He's not the greatest ever, for sure. You know, maybe somebody undefeated would be a better choice, like John Jones versus a boxer. I would rather see than somebody who's really still unproven in my eyes. Just because he's had some decent fights in the UFC, a lot of it is just circumstance and timing. So, caught Jose Aldo on the downswing. 13 seconds, got not a lucky punch, but just a really nice, well-timed punch. And, you know, you can't say the guy isn't skilled, but to go as a walk-on into the sport of boxing against an undefeated fighter like that, and as a UFC promoter, putting that guy in there, knowing he's probably going to lose, hoping he wins, but then not even probably knowing what to do with if he does win. It just blows my mind how stupid that guy could be. To insist on being involved in the negotiations and go out there and bash all the news outlets that said he wasn't involved and then not do anything except put Conor in there. I mean, maybe that's it on his part. It's his decision that he doesn't want to give any of his fighters that kind of attention and that kind of lure out of the sport. It's already bad enough with Conor, but I mean, if you've already agreed to do it, I mean, I don't see how you can stop other guys from doing it if they want to do it. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all develops after the fact. And I do believe Conor will come back to the UFC. He probably has an existing contract he has to fulfill. And there's probably clauses in this contract regarding whether he can stay in boxing or not, or how many fights a year he could do if he wins. So, it's going to be interesting to see, but I just don't think McGregor has much of a chance. And he's not a very good example for the whole sport of mixed martial arts to represent boxing. Represent MMA in boxing.
Right.
I mean, you could pick a lot of guys with a lot more just kickboxing experience that would do better, I think, than a guy like McGregor. But he is the right weight, so what can you do?
Well, hey, unless he does something stupid, he's gonna make a lot of money.
Yeah, 100 mil at least, says him.
Yeah.
Alright, guys. All right. Guess that'll wrap it up till Thursday.
Oh, Rich, before I forget, how was the concert?
Oh, yeah, Luke Bryan. Luke Bryan was good except for tailgating. I mixed some drinks I shouldn't have, so I was feeling pretty miserable halfway through the concert. I pretty much had to sit down. But it was good. I mean, he does a lot of really good live stuff. And there was one song in particular, I forget what it was, but they did some like crazy guitar work at the end of it. And he just really did well. And he couldn't figure out whether to call us New Hampshireans or New Hampshireites. That was kind of funny. He was trying to interact with the audience as much as he could. It's such a different thing now with the cell phones. I mean, like, every act I've been to so far at this venue, they whip out their cell phones, and some of the guys on stage will pick them right up. Pick someone's cell phone right up, and he did something, like, he called karaoke, but I don't know why he needed the cell phone to do it. I guess he was reading the lyrics on it or something, but the band was playing the music, so he did some cover songs, which is pretty cool.
Well, I'll be going 26 days, so.
Yeah, it's worth it, for sure. It was a fun time.
Yeah, absolutely, I can believe it. He gives a good show.
He picked up some girl's phone, and he's looking through the pictures, and he goes, "How come you have so many crotch shots of me?" That was really funny. That was a great show.
Nice.
Yeah, if you could afford to come up here, you could have got tickets from the girl behind us. She had two free tickets she was trying to get rid of. She couldn't sell them for even less than face value. She had two tickets. Nobody was sitting. Anyway, you're going to see him down in your neck of the woods, so.
Yeah, we've seen him in 26 days.
And then the other funny thing was he told us that he had a show on Tuesday night, then he had a day off Wednesday, and then he had our show on Thursday night. So Tuesday, apparently, he did 20 shots of tequila on stage.
Oh, my God.
And he had a hangover all day Wednesday, he said he was recovering from.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, and he drinks on stage a lot already. He's throwing beers out to the audience and stuff. So, yeah, I think he might have a problem with his alcohol. It's pretty bad. But of all places to have a hangover, New Hampshire ain't bad by the lakes here. So, anyway. All right, guys. That's all.
All right.
We'll chat with you next week.
See you Thursday. Talk to you guys in 4 days.
Yeah, we'll be back on schedule next week. We'll have a guest for sure.
All right, sounds good.
All right, guys.
Have a good rest of your week.
Adios.